So we'll be in Matthew chapter 22, one of the great parables of Jesus about the great banquet. So Matthew 22, beginning at verse 1, let's stand in honor of God's word today. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is God's word. You can be seated. You're invited. The paper was top-notch, the edges feathered. The words were engraved and the border was golden. A great banquet was to be held in honor of the president's son who lived in the area. This beautiful invite graced the mailboxes of many dignitaries in town. This would be a grand occasion. No expense would be spared. Everyone who was someone was on the list of guests. World-renowned chefs would prepare the meal. A live 13-piece orchestra would provide dinner music. A famous country music star would perform after dinner. The president herself would speak and pose for photos. It was to be a very big deal indeed. The press were even notified, and they began to report on this major event. The mayor held the invitation up to the light. And the watermark of the paper was the best, so it seemed genuine. But he smirked, and then he smiled, and then he slid the invite back into its envelope and dropped it in the circular file, along with all the other junk mail of the day. And he wasn't the only one. All over the village, people of note were sticking this note in the place all pieces of paper go to die. The sound of shredders shredding could be heard on the street. The planner was prepared to receive the early RSVPs to gauge how many tables and how much food to prepare. Would they need one huge tent or two? But days turned into a couple of weeks, and when they counted up all who would be there, it wasn't very hard because the number was zero. But the tens of thousands had already been paid out in U.S. dollars. Everyone had been very tight-lipped about it up until now because no one had the guts to tell the president that no one was coming. In fact, Air Force One was in the sky and they were literally on their way and the president didn't know yet. Executive staff members were whispering to each other and staring blankly at the chief of staff who as yet had failed to notify her. "Would it really be better for her to find out after we arrive?" they said. So slowly he rose from his seat, opened the door and walked out to face what he thought would be his last few moments as chief of staff. She was livid. "I'll bomb that city into oblivion," she said. "They'll regret the day they snubbed me." But then suddenly, she got a twinkle in her eye. This is how she became president, because she could think on her feet. What could be better? We'll invite the real VIPs in this town. The real VIPs in every town are the everyday people who make things work. So invite them, everyone. I don't care what it costs, invite the whole blooming village. Get the chef on the phone, order more tents, get a sound stage for the orchestra. We're going to rock this town. Well, Josh was driving home from work when his car let him know they had a new message. Did he want to hear it? Sure. Phones lit up on every street with alerts about this incredible event. And Josh heard the words that he was invited to this banquet. Everyone who could make it there in time was welcome, but dinner would be served in 2 hours. Every network ran with the story. The People's Banquet, they called it. Everybody who's nobody is somebody tonight. So, wow, a chance to dine with the president. So he checked his calendar, Josh did, and as usual, there was nothing on it. Now, some people were insulted to be invited on these terms. They didn't want to be seen as a nobody. But Josh had no such pride. He believed in his president, and he wasn't alone. Hundreds were making the last-minute arrangements to be on the lawn at City Park in the middle of this medium-sized village. Josh pulled up to his apartment complex, and he ran up the stairs 3 at a time. There in the back of his closet was his best suit. Now, he hadn't worn it since Julie's wedding, and that was 4 years ago. But he loved that suit. In his mind's eye, he was going to look fantastic in it. As he pulled it on, he was realizing that things were getting a little interesting. The pants were about a size too small, and the jacket too big because he stopped lifting weights. But it wasn't too bad if he kept the coat buttoned. But as he looked in the mirror, his eyes were gleaming. Tonight was his night to shine. Let's face it, it hadn't been his decade. So many things in life had been dead ends for him. But tonight, he and his best suit would be basking in a glorious evening. And his heart rate ticked up a few notches. Now, for those who paid attention, and that wasn't Josh's strong suit, but for those who paid attention, the invites were very clear. Black tie only, formal attire provided. So most were just wearing the casual clothes they were in when they got the message. Well, Josh was behind the wheel and on the road in a flash. He was trying to remember the last time he had a fancy meal out, and that too was probably Julie's wedding. Lots of macaroni and cheese and ramen noodles in a cup since then. He was salivating as he pictured the scene in his mind. Orchestra playing softly in the background. A nice-looking lady complimenting him on his suit. His moment posing with the president for a selfie. He almost ran a red light, imagining just how it was going to be. Maybe she would even be impressed and offer him a job in her administration. Okay, well, maybe not. Still, this was gonna be great. So Josh parked his 2004 Corolla with no rearview mirror, and as he did, he splashed through a muddy puddle on the park lawn. He knew he had done that because he rubbed up against it, staining his best suit. Ugh. But maybe no one would notice. He looked up and he saw the line forming, and he picked up the pace, determined to get there before anyone else in the tight rows of cars that were lined up as far as he could see. The closer he got, the more glad he was that he'd stopped by at home to change. He didn't see anyone he knew, but he thought, look at these poor slobs. Where's the respect? Nobody else was dressed for a banquet. Maybe this evening was going to be even more promising than he had imagined. He was definitely going to stand out. Maybe she would really offer him a job in the executive branch. Well, finally, the line was moving and the conversation was buzzing. And as he got closer, he was kind of puzzled. People were walking out of tents in tuxedos and gowns. What a scene. Wow, fancy schmancy, he thought. But I don't need a tux. I've got my best suit. I love this suit. So he planned his speech. No, thank you. I'm happy with what I'm wearing. Now there were just five people ahead of him in line, and that's when he noticed. Lots of men and women with earpieces in, listening and then talking into their wrists. Either these people were insane, or could it be? Yes, of course, the Secret Service. And they were frisking and scanning everyone as they arrived, and all their possessions had to be checked at the door, and the sign said it all. Just like the message he didn't read carefully before had said, black tie required, formal attire provided. How they were pulling this off was blowing his mind, but he realized now there were lots of reasons to require the change of clothes. But security for this kind of access to the president was one of them, something that had never occurred to him. Suddenly, he didn't feel quite so superior in his suit. But an anger began to build inside his chest. He didn't want to wear a monkey suit. He was very happy with his own. And even as he grimaced a little from the tight pants, he was offended by these terms. He wanted access to the president, but he wanted to shine in his own best clothes. Well, twilight arrived and settled over the town, but the lights had not yet been turned on. The Secret Service were busy, and in a noisy, dark moment, he slipped into the banquet and filled his plate at the salad bar. He made his way to an empty seat and began to push his food around the plate. He ate some, but the knot in his stomach wouldn't let him enjoy it. People at his table stared at his lapel and then at each other knowingly. But nobody actually mentioned it, and they all made polite conversation. He let himself relax, and before long, he was just looking forward to the rest of the evening. The music was amazing, the food sublime, the service like none he'd ever experienced. He barely had room, but the desserts looked so inviting that he couldn't resist. Well, soon the president kept her promise, and she made her way from table to table, greeting everyone and posing for selfies. Cell phone towers were glowing red hot with all the Instagram and Facebook posts. It was quite a scene. But as she inched closer and closer to Josh's table, some things were hitting home. Why did he stubbornly refuse the new clothes? All the exits were now closely guarded. If nobody had noticed him so far, they would certainly notice his attire if he tried to leave. Josh thought about a lot of things in his life. How he was often stubborn. How he just could not submit to nearby authority. He was face to face with a pattern of running anytime relationships got difficult. But there was no running this time. His pride of life would stand out. It had potentially put everyone at risk. That's how it would appear. And he had no excuse. He made the choice. So he swallowed hard and he hoped for the best. He stood to shake hands with his hero. And at first she smiled. But then she saw what he was wearing. Friend, why aren't you wearing a tux? In fact, how did you get in here without changing your clothes? Josh swallowed really hard this time. What could he say? Answer me, friend, she said. What do you have to say for yourself? But again, the pride kicked in. Why didn't he just ask for mercy? Saying nothing in answer to the president was an unacceptable affront. With a quick nod of her head, two men had lifted him off the ground, one on each elbow, and in less than 5 seconds, he found himself out of the bright lights, his face pressed into the wet evening grass, handcuffs on his wrists, and a grilling with questions he would remember for the rest of his life. Josh was devastated. Ashamed, really. You can imagine the breaking news about an unidentified man who snuck into the president's banquet in an ill-fitting suit. Why? Well, as you can see by now, this story follows the story in our text from this morning. And it brings to light some important things about what it means to be invited into God's kingdom. How glorious it is that although some of the officials of Jesus' day had the opportunity to receive him, but most of them took a pass. It was the everyday people who received him. They received him deeply into their hearts. It was life-changing for them to be included in God's family and in the great banquet of salvation that unfolded before them. But the end of this story reminds us that grace has a particular shape. Whosoever will may come. And that's true. And that's just about the most gorgeous truth you could ever imagine. You are invited. Everyone is. But like so many of the stories that Jesus told, we are reminded that we are vessels, not storage bins of grace. The only way to really receive God's grace is to receive it on God's terms. Forgiveness, love, healing, restoration, new life, being part of God's family, it's all there for the having. But it doesn't work if you try to just take the forgiveness and the love and keep on doing life your own way. Paul writes repeatedly to the early church that they should change clothes. And I believe we've got slides for these. You'll find it in Romans 13, verse 14. It says, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Colossians 3, 9 and 10. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Or Ephesians 4:24 that says, "And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." It's right there for us, friends, to see. Coming to Jesus is about leaving behind all that you take pride in to take hold of what you can truly be proud of, and that is the glory of God and the grace of Jesus. Amen? The beauty of his grace. Not your own righteousness, because it just doesn't compare. Philippians 3:9, Paul wrote it this way, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." And so we come to the challenging side of coming to Jesus. It means real change, because it means real love. It means we wave the white flag of surrender and we find peace worth celebrating. So much mediocre stuff we are hanging on to gets traded in for the very best that heaven has to offer. And it's worth the trade, my friends. So many in the world have rejected the invitation, but I hope that you haven't. Quite a few have tried to receive it on their own terms, and I hope that's not any of us here today. I quote this a lot, but Tom T. Hall said in a country song, "Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out." Well, Tom, I'm sorry, but you don't get your own special deal. It's the same deal for all of us. We give up our everything, which really ain't much, and we gain everything, a true everything that lasts forever. God is good this morning, and God loves you. And God's grace is amazing and never-ending, but it has a particular shape, as I said before. So we come to it humbly, without reservation. We let it shape us. We don't try to bend it to our will. It's for you today. If you've never received the grace of our Lord Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to him, if you've never committed your life to following him, today is your day of salvation. Let the journey begin right now. Be done with life on your terms and receive Jesus and his unmeasurable grace today. If you've received Jesus, but today you realize that either from the start or at times you've tried to manipulate things your own way, then come clean now before God. Make it clear to yourself and to God that you belong only to him. You know the mercy of Jesus is what you must have. So set aside your pride and don't hold back. Start fresh today. Bend your knee before your true and everlasting King of Kings, just as you are. This morning, if this message is just a reminder of how amazing God has been to you, then just bask once again in the glory of his grace. Give thanks to our good God who offers you his grace, and give thanks for the day that his grace found you. May we all be found in him, having a righteousness that is from God through faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for that invitation that came to us, Lord. Though we weren't worthy, though there was nothing special about us, you invited us all. And Father, I pray that we won't hold back in offering our lives completely to you. If anyone is here or listening this morning and their life is not completely surrendered to you, then I pray this would be their moment. They could confess their sins right where they are, admit that they know they've done wrong and that things aren't right with you, and they can commit to making you the Lord of their life. And they can give themselves to saying they will follow you and be a part of your kingdom and a part of your family in the way that you want them to go and to live from this day forward. If that's you, make that decision and those commitments right now before God. And the word says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can be white as snow before you. And we can walk forward in the new garments, having put on Christ and being a part of your church family and part of your blessing to the world. And this morning I pray for anyone making that decision right now that they would feel your presence and feel your forgiveness and your strength rising within them, and that they would seek out the fellowship that they need to go forward in faith. I pray for those who need to have a gut check today, those who had been trusting in their own righteousness as of late, letting pride sneak in. Father, help us to come clean before you and remember that we must rely on you, and apart from you, we can do nothing. And may today be a fresh start as we confess this before you and renew our commitment to you and to your family. And Father, I just pray for all of us that this will be a powerful and fresh reminder of how much you do love us and all of the incredible gifts that are ours because of your grace. Fill us, Lord, with joy and thanksgiving, and help us to be able to enter fully into the life that you have for us in the kingdom. And I pray that you'll bless us and use us in this dark hour in our world, that we will be people who stand out because of what you have done. And it's in Jesus' name and to his glory that I pray these things. Amen. This time I want to do another song.
In ways he probably never imagined. And I know I'm grateful for his leadership and his counsel, his love and his prayers, and I'm sure the rest of you are too. So I wanted to tell you that the church as a whole gives him a monetary gift, and the treasurer has already deposited that into his account.
Thank you.
So you don't see me handing him a card and hugging him and all, because this is a little bit different. But I'm sure that he would appreciate a text or a note or a phone call. And you can tell him how much he means to you as an individual. We love him. We give thanks for him. I hope you're all praying for him each and every day for his health and safety and well-being. And I've asked Bob to come forward and say a prayer for our pastor. And again, we thank you. We love
you.
We appreciate you.
Wonderful words. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate you guys and love you all. Thank you for the support that you have given us, and it's our pleasure to serve you as pastor. All right, let's stand together. I pray that the God of all grace will fill your life in every way, and I pray that you'll receive all that God has for you in the shape and the way that God wants you to. And I pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll live this week with the wind of grace at your back. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Okay.